Today, we're dissecting a high-stakes linguistic journey. I mean, it's the transformation from just getting by in a language to achieving true mastery.
Exactly.
We are peeling back the layers of a linguistic assessment report for a learner, a guy named Murilo Carvalho Grip, to map out how someone bridges that really grueling gap between intermediate and advanced English.
And it's a compelling case study because we're watching a speaker climb from a B1 level, which is, you know, essentially a survival English,
right,
all the way up to a strong B2+. And that's really the threshold of professional fluency.
So let's start with where things began. This was back in July 2025. Murilo was grappling with the foundations.
Oh, yeah.
Things we've all faced, like those pesky irregular verbs. He was saying she buy instead of she bought, or we wake up when he meant the past tense.
Right. And at that stage, the brain is just in survival mode. You're so focused on getting the core meaning out that the structure just sort of falls apart.
And you see that change.
You do. As we move into the August and September sessions, you see a real shift into what I'd call structure mode. He started tackling the passive voice.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the subtle but really vital difference between being shot and being shot at. He also started fixing his prepositions of duration, using for 1 hour instead of
since 1 hour. But wait, since 1 hour, that seems like such a tiny slip.
Yeah.
I mean, does it actually matter if the listener still gets what you mean?
It matters because it's a translation glitch. It's a subtle signal to a native speaker that your brain is still, you know, translating from your first language.
I see.
By eliminating those glitches, you're basically reducing the cognitive load for your listener. You're making it effortless for them to follow you.
Which is a hallmark of an advanced speaker.
Precisely.
So as the report goes on, Murilo starts diving into more complex topics, right?
Yeah.
Engineering logistics, university life.
And this is where he hits those moments where a word just disappears.
Vanishes. Yeah. And instead of freezing, he used this strategy. I think it's called circumlocution.
Mm.
He described a keychain as a plastic thing I put on my keys.
That is a key B2C1 strategy. It's the ability to talk around a lexical gap to keep the narrative going.
Mm.
He even described an overcast sky as being painted of gray.
Okay, I have to challenge that. Painted of gray is poetic for sure, but is it efficient? If you're in a high-pressure business meeting, does that kind of phrasing actually slow things down?
That's the tension of the advanced learner.
Right. Shouldn't a master just use the technical word overcast and move on?
Well, overcast is the goal for efficiency. Painted of gray is a sophisticated bridge. It shows real linguistic flexibility.
All right.
But by November, the report shows he was replacing those with natural collocations. He stopped saying change the hour and started saying change the schedule.
And he moved from calling a meeting particular
to the much more natural one-on-one.
Speaking of precision, those September sessions focused heavily on the thrith sound, words like 14th and teeth. I have to ask, is that really the best use of time? It feels a little like perfectionism.
It can sound like it, but again, it goes back to that emotional wake you leave in a conversation.
What do you mean?
If a listener has to squint their ears to decode your sounds, they have less mental energy to focus on your actual ideas. Phonological competence is all about clearing the path for your message.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about the vibe you create.
Which
brings us to what the report calls sociolinguistic competence.
Yes.
There's a great example where Murilo learned that saying you are questioning someone can sound aggressive or accusatory in a professional setting.
Whereas asking questions feels neutral, curious.
Exactly.
And that is such a high-value insight. Mastery is knowing the temperature of your words. It's the difference between describing a test as peaceful or, as he eventually did, calling it chill.
One sounds like a dictionary. The other sounds like you actually belong.
You belong in the culture. Yes. Yeah.
So by November 2025, he's at B2+. He's correcting the little things, and he's eyeing that C1 advanced level. He's gone from struggling with wake up to navigating these delicate social nuances.
He's transitioned from being a student of English to being a confident user of English.
It's an incredible evolution. But before we go, here's a thought to mull over. In our rush to reach that advanced label, do we lose something by replacing a creative phrase like "the sky is painted of gray" with an efficient term like "overcast"?
Hmm.
I mean, does high-level fluency sometimes value speed over the very creativity that makes us human? Something to think about the next time you're searching for the right word.